Section 3, Steps in the Criminal Justice Process. As you read, look for the three major steps in the criminal justice process, what happens before trial, at trial, and after trial, terms, suspect, grand jury, indictment, arraign, plea, verdict. Suppose that your school is broken into over a weekend when no one is in the building. Offices are trashed and equipment, computers, digital projectors, and cameras, is stolen from the library. When the break-in is discovered, police and security personnel come immediately. Crime scene investigators examine the area carefully, collecting and recording evidence. From the evidence, fingerprints and shoe prints, and from the reports of witnesses, joggers on the athletic field behind the school, police officers arrest three suspects, people who are thought to have committed the crime. What happens next? Pre-trial proceedings. When the suspects are arrested, law enforcement authorities take the suspects into custody. Once the suspects are in custody, law enforcement authorities make an official record of the arrest and place the suspects in a holding cell. This is called booking. The suspects make a first appearance before a magistrate judge. The judge makes sure that due process, the rules established by courts to protect a person's rights, is followed for each suspect. Each suspect has the right to an attorney. The charges against each suspect, burglary, vandalism, are explained, and the judge decides whether or not to allow a suspect out on bail, money paid to ensure a suspect's appearance in court at a later date. Next is the preliminary hearing. In this hearing, the magistrate judge determines if there was, in fact, a crime committed, and if there is probable cause, sufficient reason, to believe that each suspect committed the crime. In most cases, the case is sent to a grand jury. The grand jury is a group of citizens chosen from among eligible voters in a county or judicial circuit. Their job is to examine the case record and evidence that may link the accused to the crime committed. The grand jury decides whether there is sufficient evidence to charge the suspect with a crime. If it does, the grand jury issues an indictment, a formal accusation of a serious crime. Someone who has been indicted by the grand jury is then arraigned, called before a superior court judge who reads the charges and allows the suspect to enter a plea of guilty or not guilty. If the plea is guilty, the next step is sentencing. If the accused person agrees to plead guilty to a less serious charge and the prosecutor agrees, there will be no trial. This process of negotiating is called plea bargaining. If a suspect agrees to plea bargaining, he or she will begin to serve a sentence for taking part in the crime. The trial. If a suspect pleads not guilty, he or she becomes the defendant, the person who answers the charges, in a criminal trial. The trial process begins with jury selection. 12 jurors and at least one alternate are selected to hear the case. In determining who will serve on the jury, the judge, the prosecutor, or the lawyer for the defendant may ask questions of the potential juror. This process is called voir dire. Once the jury is selected, the prosecutor and the attorney for the defendant speak directly to the jury and state what they expect to prove. These are called the opening statements. Next is the presentation of evidence. The prosecutor, the attorney for the state, goes first. Most of the evidence is presented by witnesses who testify under oath. This means that they tell the court what they observed. In our burglary case, crime scene investigators would describe what they found. Joggers from the athletic field would tell the court what they saw at the approximate time of the burglary. The judge then calls upon the defense attorney to cross-examine, question, the witnesses. The defense attorney may call witnesses to argue, for example, that the burglary did not take place at the time identified by the police, or that the defendant could not be positively linked to the crime. Once all of the witnesses have testified and been cross-examined, the defense attorney and the prosecutor make closing statements or final arguments to the jury. Next, the judge will instruct the jurors and point out the question they must decide. Instructions will include information about the state law that applies to the case in hand. In our case, a definition of burglary and destruction of property. The jurors then deliberate, discuss among themselves the case, and reach a verdict decision. If the verdict is guilty, the judge proceeds with sentencing, the length of time to be served in prison, and sets the amount of any fines or restitution, payment for damages. If the verdict is not guilty, the defendant is free to go. The appeal. There are several actions that can take place after a trial. If the defendant was found guilty by the jury, his or her lawyer may file a motion for a new trial. This motion is usually not granted except in unusual circumstances. The defense attorney can then file a notice of appeal to the appellate court and give reasons why the case should be reviewed. As you learned earlier, the appellate court does not conduct a trial. It examines the trial record for errors. If the appellate court overturns, reverses the previous decision, the case goes back to Superior Court. If the court upholds the guilty verdict, the sentence, prison term, and restitution is carried out. Reviewing the section. 1. Define indictment, arraign, plea, verdict. 2. What are the three major steps in the criminal justice system? 3. Why is the process of voir dire so important? Page 123 of Special Interest, Jury Duty. When you become 18, you may register to vote. At that time, you will also be eligible to be called for jury duty. By serving on a jury, you have a role to play in the justice system. As you learned, a jury is responsible for carefully sorting out and determining the facts in a given case and reaching a verdict based upon those facts. Being a juror is a serious responsibility. A juror may serve on a civil case or a criminal case. A panel, group of people are called to the courthouse to serve as jurors. The judge or the lawyers for the parties, plaintiff and defendant, may ask questions of the panel. For example, a potential juror may be asked if he or she is related to the defendant or if the juror has already formed an opinion about the defendant's guilt or innocence. If so, that juror will be excused and another substituted. Through this process, a panel of a certain number of qualified persons is chosen, 24, 30, or 42, depending on the type of case. Selecting a 12-person jury from the panel members is known as striking the jury. Attorneys for the plaintiff and the defendant take turns striking names from the panel until they reach the correct number. The remaining jurors make up the jury that will decide the case. When the trial begins, evidence is presented, witnesses are questioned, and arguments are made by the lawyers. During the trial and the recesses, rest breaks, jurors may not talk about the case with one another or with any other persons, including relatives and friends. Jurors cannot do any research or investigation on their own. They also must not accept any favor from anyone connected with the trial. This is important because a juror cannot allow anything or anyone to jeopardize his or her responsibility to be impartial and open-minded. After final arguments, the judge charges, instructs, the jurors about the questions they are to decide and the law that applies to the case. The jury then retires, goes, to a separate room to deliberate. Their first task is to select a foreman or forewoman who acts as the chairperson. The jurors then discuss the case, decide the facts based on the evidence presented, and then apply the law as charged by the judge. Jurors take a formal vote in which each juror states his or her opinion as to what the verdict should be. The law requires that the final decision, the verdict, be unanimous. The jury sends word to the judge that it has reached a verdict, and the judge reconvenes the court in order to hear the outcome. If a defendant is found guilty in a felony or a misdemeanor case, the judge sets the sentence, usually in a separate hearing. Page 124, Chapter Review. Chapter Summary, Section 1, Ensuring Justice. The role of the judicial branch is to interpret the laws of Georgia and to ensure justice in the legal system. Due process ensures fair treatment under the law and must be observed in all stages. Criminal laws protect society from the wrongdoing of an individual. Civil laws deal with the relationships between and among individuals. A crime is a serious offense against society and punishable by the state. A tort is an injury or wrong done to a person that can be compensated with the payment of money. A felony is a very serious crime punishable by a prison sentence of more than 1 year. Felonies include arson, kidnapping, robbery, rape, burglary, selling illegal substances, drugs, and motor vehicle theft. A capital felony is a crime punishable by death. Murder is a capital felony. All other crimes are misdemeanors and carry a less severe punishment, 1 to 12 months in jail and or the payment of a fine set by the court. Section 2, The Structure of Georgia's Court System. Courts in Georgia have either original jurisdiction, able to hear a case in the first instance, limited jurisdiction, handle less severe cases or those with specific issues, or appellate jurisdiction, able to review the decisions of lower trial courts. The Supreme Court is the state's highest court. It reviews decisions made by a trial court judge or by the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals is an appellate court for many civil and criminal cases. The Superior Court has original jurisdiction and is the major trial court in the state. Courts with limited jurisdiction generally hear less serious cases. These courts include A. State courts, which hear misdemeanor cases and some civil cases. B. Probate courts, which handle the estates of deceased persons and issue marriage licenses and licenses to carry firearms. C. Magistrate courts, which issue minor warrants and hear minor criminal offenses and civil claims involving amounts of $15,000 or less. And D. Juvenile courts, which handle all cases involving deprived and neglected children, delinquent and unruly offenses committed by children, and traffic violations committed by juveniles. Municipal courts are established by cities and towns to handle such cases as traffic offenses and violations of local regulations. Most of Georgia's judges and justices are elected to a specific term. Some lower court associate positions are appointed magistrates. District courts are the trial courts of the federal judicial system. Georgia has 3 federal district courts. There are other ways to settle disagreements peaceably, including mediation, arbitration, compromise, negotiation, collaboration, and nonviolent civil disobedience. Section 3, Steps in the Criminal Justice Process. There are 3 main steps in the criminal justice process: pretrial proceedings, the trial, and the appeal process. During pretrial proceedings, a suspect is arrested, taken into custody, and booked. The suspect appears before a magistrate judge who ensures that due process is followed for all suspects. In the preliminary hearing, the magistrate judge determines if a crime was committed and if there is probable cause that the suspect committed the crime. In felony cases, the case is sent to a grand jury for indictment. If indicted, the suspect is arraigned before a superior court judge who reads the charges and allows the suspect to enter a plea. The trial process begins with jury selection. During the trial, opening arguments are made, evidence is presented, witnesses are questioned and cross-examined, and final arguments are made. The judge instructs the jurors, and the jurors deliberate until they reach a verdict. If the defendant is found guilty, his or her lawyer may file a motion for a new trial or appeal the verdict to the appellate court. The appellate court examines the trial record for errors. If the court reverses the decision, the case goes back to Superior Court. Page 125 contains a chapter review of Chapter 5.